Blog Talk Radio.
Savior and Redeemer to us all. Thank you for another day of life. Thank you for allowing us to see your creation, Father. Thank you for Shabbat and all the blessings that you bestowed upon this day. Father, forgive us for all our sins that we commit knowingly and unknowingly, Father, for not trying hard enough. Forgive us for all our shortcomings, Father, wherever they may be, whatever they may be. Father, strengthen us by your Spirit. Open our minds, open our ears and our eyes, that we may behold you, Father, and understand you more. Bring us closer to you. Continue to feed us. Continue to care for us and nurture us, Father, like your children. Father, thank you for everything that you do for us on a daily basis. Hallelujah. Amen. Shabbat shalom, family. It's your brother Day Well. Bible 101. And today, we're going to be talking about redemption. So, what does it mean? What does the word redemption mean, or redeem mean? And according to this app I have, I don't know what it is, but one, it's a verb. In the verb sense, the word redeem means to compensate the faults or bad aspects of something, or to do something that compensates for poor past performance or behavior. So, by those two definitions, in order to be redeemed, something had to be lacking. There had to be an issue. And so, it takes somebody to compensate for past performance issues, bad behaviors, etc., etc. Another definition fulfill or carry out a pledge or a promise. So, if somebody is your redeemer, they have either pledged or promised to, they're fulfilling a duty, so to speak, fulfilling a promise. All right? And the archaic meaning of it, and this is the oldest meaning of it, this is the meaning that it was originally, when people heard this word, this is what came to their mind. It means by the freedom of, the word redeem. It's to buy the freedom of. So, let's say a person became a slave. You know, they were kidnapped or became in servitude or something, and they need their freedom. All right? You could buy it back. And that was you redeeming them. Right? So, how does the Most High redeem us? Because obviously, we have some issues, some character flaws. Something's wrong with man. So it takes someone to compensate for us. So now, I'm going to look at a couple of scriptures. First scripture we're going to look at. Is Psalms 19, starting at verse 7. And it reads, the law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. Statute of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. Command of Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eyes. Fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. Judgments of Yahweh are true, and are righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. We read this every week. But it's telling you how good his law is, how good his statutes are, and what they can do for a person. So let's keep on reading, because he continues. He says, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them, there is a great reward. So it's a reward in keeping the laws of the Most High. He says, who can understand his errors? So, there you go. We have errors, and we don't understand how we got in this predicament. All right? But his laws, statutes, and judgments make us understand where we go wrong, where we go astray at. So, it helps us to understand, in other words, it's redeeming us if we follow the laws, statutes, and judgments, past behaviors. Right? He says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. So even when we don't know when something is, how we got to a predicament, or if we messed up, and however we messed up, an error that we are unaware of, it can cleanse us from that. You know, we don't understand everything in its totality, right? We only understand what we grasp at that time. But as we keep on learning, our understanding grows. So how we might have thought one thing was okay in the past, you know, as we keep growing and keep moving, our understanding grows and we understand where our fault was in the past that we might not have understood at that time. He says, verse 13, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins, them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Yahweh, my strength and my redeemer. So, on the onset, we know who's doing the redeeming. We know who our strength is. We know who's made this pledge to cleanse us of our past faults and our past actions. Yahweh, he is our redeemer. So, let's look at, from what I could find, the first time this word was being used. And that's in Genesis chapter 48, verse 15. We're going to start in 15. And it reads, and he blessed Joseph and said, Elohim, before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, did walk, the Elohim which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. So, first thing we find out, redemption is, one, it's a blessing. It's a blessing from the Most High. Two, this is when Jacob was blessing Manasseh and Ephraim. This is that account. So, one, comes from on high. Two, it is something that is bestowed upon you by the Most High as a blessing to be redeemed. That's something that, you know, when I first read this and when Yahweh was showing me this, something I really didn't grasp a concept about, you know, because I'm not saying, I don't know if I took it lightly, but sometimes when they word things within the word, it's like, oh, this is a free gift, and this is this, and it's that. And you kind of, in my case, I didn't really understand or really appreciate the fact that this was such a big blessing, and this is like, to be redeemed is a blessing. This is something that he really worked for, something that we can't really make light of. And I guess I kind of took it to be redeemed. Well, he's redeeming us, yay, in a way, but I didn't really take it as much as I should. You know, he really opened my eyes up to how much of a blessing this thing really is. Because, you know, when you think about it, you done screwed up so much. And, you know, you think about forgiveness, and that's a great thing. And you really focus on that. But the forgiveness is the redemption too, because as he's forgiving you, he's building you up better, you know? And it's kind of like, when I guess I sort of separated the two, you know? I sort of separated them, where it's like, he forgave me for all my sins, and that's a great thing. But then to be redeemed, he's actually compensating you in where you was falling short. This is the building up process. So after the forgiveness, it's the building up process. And that's where the redemption is, to really get you where you need to be. And that's like the greater blessing, even afterwards, because the forgiveness of your sins, that's great. You know, that is a very great thing, to be able to forgive somebody. But then to build you up to the point after that, that's an even greater thing. You know, to get you to that, the place where you need to be, that's a greater thing, even better than the forgiveness. Because the forgiveness could be, okay, I forgive you, you just go on your merry way. But he says, after he forgives you, he don't want you to get back into that state. He wants you to be in a better position. So it's a blessing all in itself. And I guess I was separating the two, but it's all one big process, you know. But that's the first time this is being used. And they say it, it's a blessing. But the way Yahweh was showing me, it started off with Joseph. And it started off with one guy, right? Now, in Exodus chapter 6, he said from this one blessing, he was going to bless these two. And one of the blessings was, let them be a multitude within the earth, right? So he wants to extend this blessing, right? So in Exodus chapter 6, starting at verse 1, it reads, then Yahweh said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And Elohim spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am Yahweh, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by El Shaddai. But by my name Yahweh was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians kept in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am Yahweh, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment. And I will take you out for, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be your mighty one, and ye shall know I am Yahweh, your mighty one, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of Egypt. So, started with Joseph and Jacob blessing Joseph's kids. Now the redemption is for all of Israel. It went from the two kids to the whole big mass of Israel, because the whole mass of Israel was in bondage. All of them was. They started getting beat down. We know the story. They were in Egyptian bondage. They were made to work with rigor. So, which was started with those two down in Egypt, and all this stuff is happening in Egypt, because when Jacob was given the blessing to Manasseh and Ephraim, they were already in Egypt. All right. So this is where the redemption happens. The redemption happens while we are in Egypt, while we're going through the hard times, while we're living this life, you know, because sometimes we can all say it, this life gets rough on us sometimes. This life has its struggles, it has its adversities and everything, to the point where sometimes people fall away, you know, where they don't want to struggle no more. They don't want to go through it no more. But you're being redeemed from it. This is a process, this is a work that we have to stick with and continue to stick with. All right? So, the next thing, Exodus chapter 13, starting at verse 11. It reads, and shall be when Yahweh shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto Yahweh all that openeth the matrix, and firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the males shall be Yahweh's. And every firstling of a donkey thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among the children thou shalt redeem. And it shall be, when thy son asks thee in time to come, saying, what is this? That thou shalt say unto him, by strength of hand Yahweh brought us out from Egypt, out from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that Yahweh slew all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of male and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to Yahweh all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. So, the next thing that we learn, we have to sacrifice something. Redemption involves a sacrifice. There's something that we have to give up, being the firstborn and everything that's being redeemed. So, as he's building, because remember, he's compensating for the flaws that we already have. So we have to give and willingly give those flaws up. That's our sacrifice, not being connected to this world. Being here on Shabbat when we could be at the mall, it's a real nice day today. We could be at the park. We could be driving, just doing whatever, sitting under AC. Some people like to sit on their porch and drink lemonade. But we're here because Yahweh said, be here. We have to give us up, you know. So is sacrifice involved in redemption also? How many times did you want to, like, I get invited to parties all the time, you know. But everybody wants to have a party on the Shabbat, you know. And people don't get it, you know. I miss my daughter, baby shower. She was so mad at me. It's on a Saturday. I said, you know I ain't coming, right? She said, no, you're going to come. It's for the baby. And yada, yada, yada. I said, okay, all right, okay. Week went by. I said, you know I'm not coming, right? She said, yeah, I know. But that's part of this life. You have to disconnect, and not disconnect in a bad way, but it has to be Yahweh first. It has to be. You have to give up whatever it is that's going to separate you from the Most High. You have to, you know. And sometimes, you know, if people don't understand, they're going to have to learn to understand, you know, because sometimes your position can't be, you have to be fixed in this position, you know. You can't go back and forth with folks. You can't, you know, you try to explain it to them as best as you can, but at the end of the day, you know, Abba said be here. Abba said do this. Abba said do that. I'm not going to eat this. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to cheat folks. I'm not going to, you know, man, you should have did this. You should have did that. You should. At the end of the day, no. You know, you just have to understand. You know, and especially hard when it comes with family. You know, even when I went to a funeral, I'm not going to no more funerals as far as, like, you know, my uncle's funeral was my last funeral, as far as, like, those family members and everybody like that go. But, you know, because I wasn't supposed to be there. That's all to it. That's what it all boiled down to. I wasn't supposed to be there. I'm sad that my uncle died and this, that, and another. But when I was there, I just felt so awkward. I didn't belong there. I did not belong sitting there, you know, that dead body up there, and everybody saying bye, and he boo-hooing, and Jesusing it up, and all that stuff in there. So I didn't belong there, and I'm not, you know. So this person died, I love my aunt, can't make it. Look, love my cousin, can't make it. You know, because that's what it all boils down to. You don't belong there. That's not something that, not something I'm going to participate in anyway, no more. But, again, redemption involves a sacrifice. We have to give up something. So. What was it? Oh, okay. In Exodus. All right, so brief recap. Everybody understand how, everybody understand everything so far. All right, started off with Israel blessing his two grandkids, went to the whole nation of Israel. Now a sacrifice happens. Now we get to this one, Exodus chapter 15, verse 11. And this reads, "Who is like unto thee, O Yahweh, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitations." So, first of all, that's the song we sing in case y'all didn't recognize it, right? Mika Moka. After the sacrifice happens, he guides you. He says he's doing this by his strength. He's guiding us in his mercy. That's something else that really didn't hit me until, you know, I was doing this. Him leading us and guiding us is mercy. Because it's like a lot of stuff just hit me when I was doing this. And it's like, we really don't understand everything that he does for us. You know, we really, I don't know if it's sort of like, I don't know if it gets to the point where, you know, I expect Abba to do certain things, and this, and I don't know if I'm becoming unappreciative or, but I just know Abba's going to do something for me to show me something. I know he's going to do that, and it's like, I'm like, when I'm reading this stuff, sometimes it, some things just hit you a little bit harder. You know, it's like, man, do you understand that this is me showing you mercy as I lead you and I guide you? You know, this is a way, this is a form of mercy. His instructions are a form of mercy to us, you know. But he says he redeemed his people. We make a sacrifice, and now he's going to lead us and guide us to his holy habitation by his strength. That's part of the redemption. Him leading us and guiding us and showing us the way. Because he said there's two ways in this earth. One way, broad, a lot of people on it, leads to destruction. Other way, narrow, not a lot of people on it, but it leads to life. They're your choices. And he's going to show us how to get through this narrow, cramped path as we go through this life by his mercies. You know, any questions or comments so far about anything? All right. Next spot. In Exodus chapter 21. Starting at verse 7. It reads, "And if a man sell his daughter to be a maidservant, she shall not go out as the maids, as the men servants do. And if she pleases not her master, who hath betrothed her to himself, then shall he let her be redeemed. To sell her unto a strange nation, he shall have no power, seeing he has dealt deceitfully with her." So, when I read that, I'm like, Abba, okay, show me what this means. And he did. In the line of things, while we're on this journey, we all know we become the wife of the Most High. But sometimes, when stuff gets rough for us, he's not going to let us go. right? See, because the thing about this is talking about, let me read it in this text. He says, and when a man sells his daughter to be a female servant, she does not go out as the male servants do. If she is displeasing in the eyes of her master, who has engaged her to himself, then he shall let her be ransomed. He shall have no authority to sell her to a foreign people because of him deceiving her. So just because stuff get rough, not saying that the Most High is going to deceive us, right? He doesn't deceive us. But if we become deceived, right, Abba got us. He's not just going to let us go, right? He's going to redeem us from wherever we are. So let's say we fall into a trap that the adversary has laid. He's not going to say, okay, just stay there and work your way out of it. No, he's going to redeem us from it, right? We fall into those traps for our learning. That's part of the learning process. That's part of the redemption process. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes Satan gets us, and he allows that to happen. So we'll learn the greater thing. But point being, we have to keep walking with him. He's not going to say, sell her to a foreign nation, get out. He's not going to just get rid of his wife just because his wife doesn't understand something, or his wife falls short somewhere, or his wife does something that displeases him. You know, there's no divorce in this thing, so to speak. You know, he's not going to just say, okay, girl, gone, kick it to the curb. He doesn't do that with us just because we screw up, because we mess up all the time. You know, we mess up all the time. There's something within this word that we might feel so strongly about and we'll be so deceived about, and then he opens our eyes about it. Father, forgive me. You know, the misunderstanding of something is displeasing to him. Why? The law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul, how we started off. All his law does is perfect us. You know, it gives us understanding. It opens, it does all these things for us. So when we fall short, it's not, I'm getting rid of you. No, you're my wife. I'm going to redeem you from this with my strength, with my right arm, he says. All right? And that's part of that journey. Now, next one. He gives us a story showing that. In the book of Ruth, chapter 2. Starting at verse 14. Excuse me, family. It reads, Ruth 2:14. And Boaz said unto her at mealtime, come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn. And she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until the evening, and beat out that she should have gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. So the book of Ruth. Ruth and Naomi fell on hard times. Ruth goes over, and Boaz took notice of her, and he's now instructing his men to help her, Like, yeah, you out there cleaning, drop some on the ground for her. You out there doing it, give her some of this. Do this for her. Do that for her. You know? So it says in verse 18, and she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. So falling on hard times, they got something to eat due to the kindness of a man. Right? Same way. And she's not even a spouse to him. Right? But it says, verse 19, and her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of Yahweh, who has not left off his kindness in the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is next of kin to us, one of our next kinsmen. Now, the word next kinsman is the same word for redeemer. So, you got a lot going on in this passage. First of all, it lets us know your family redeems you. In the book of, I think it's Leviticus 25, it talks about who can redeem what. It's a whole chapter dedicated to that. Dedicated to, well, if it's not your brother, then it's your second brother. It's not them. If he ain't around, then your uncle. And then if it's this guy, it's this guy. But all of it is your closest kin, letting us know we family. Our family is redeeming us. Yahweh is letting us know we're his family from the jump. He always said it, but then he says, well, I'm going to redeem you because I got this right arm. And on top of that, you're my family. You're precious to me. You know, Israel is very, Israel is so precious to the Most High. And people following them, that not only am I going to redeem you, I'm going to do everything for you. You know, it's like being an, I don't know if you want to say puppy love, but the early stages of love, when it's all good. And it's all before the bitterment jumps in and before you have your first arguments and all that stuff, when you can do no wrong in that person's eyes. And when the quote-unquote twinkle in the eyes and all that stuff. It's like that, you know. But it's like that with him all the time. It's like he never fell out of love with Israel. No matter what Israel did, I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to bring you back from it. Okay, you out there dealing with these other gods. I forgive you. Come on back. Let's start over. Let's get you to the point where you don't have to deal with these other gods. Why was you dealing with the other gods? Well, you didn't do this. Okay, fine, I'm going to do this now. All right, you didn't do all right, I'm going to do this too. You know, that's the type of relationship he has with us. There's nothing he won't do with us and do with us and do for us, you know. That's how it is. But he says he's redeemed the living and the dead. So the next passage. He gave us a story telling us something about that too. In 2 Samuel chapter 4. Any questions or comments? Right. 2 Samuel chapter 4, starting at verse 1. And it reads, when Saul's son heard that Abner was dead in Hebron, his hands were feeble and all the Israelites were troubled. And Saul's son had two men that were captains of bands. The name of the one was Bana, and the name of the other, Rechab. The sons of Rimmon, a Berathite of the children of Benjamin. For Beroth also was reckoned to Benjamin. And the Berathites fled to Gittim and were sojourners there until this day. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth, told our rabbi. So, just all this is going on. He's giving you a little bit of backstory. Saul's son had two captains. Abner dies, and Abner was like the rock. He was like their general. He was a real strong dude that people looked up to as far as warriors go. Now, he dies. Saul's son is shook. All of Israel shook. And they give me a little bit of backstory on how Mephibosheth got to the way he did. So, these two captains, they're going to talk about them. Verse 5, he says, and the sons of Rimmon, the Berathite, Rechab and Baana, went and came about the heat of the day to the house of Ishbosheth, who lay on a bed at noon. And they came thither into the midst of the house, as though they would have fetched wheat. And they smote him under the fifth rib, and Rechab and Baana, his brother, escaped. For when they came into the house, they lay on his bed in his bedchamber, and they smote him, and slew him, and beheaded him, and took his head, and got them away through all the plain all night. So they went and killed the dude. They went in this guy's house, got out the heat of the day. Guy comes in, lays down, they kills him, and cuts his head off. So he says this, and this happens to be Saul's son, one of Jonathan's sons. So he says in verse 8, and they brought the head of Ishbosheth unto David to Hebron, and said to the king, behold, the head of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, thine enemy, which sought thy life, and the son of Saul, thy enemy, which sought thy life, and Yahweh hath avenged my lord, the king, this day of Saul and of his seed. So they went and killed the dude, cut his head off, brought it to David, trying to gain favor. But listen to the response. And David answered, verse 9, and David answered Rechab and Baana, his brother, the sons of Rimmon, the Berathite, and said unto them, as Yahweh liveth, who hath redeemed my soul out of all adversity. Remember that, because that's what he's redeeming. But continue on this part. He says, who hath redeemed my soul out of all adversity. When one told me, saying, behold, Saul is dead, thinking to have brought good tidings, I took hold of him and slew him in Ziklag, who thought that I would have given him a reward for his tidings. So if y'all remember that, there's a guy came and told David that he slew Saul and thought it was a good thing, thought David was going to break him off something. David killed that dude for that, right? He's telling them this. Somebody already did what you doing, all right? I killed them for it. He says this in verse 11. How much more when wicked men have slain a righteous person in his own house upon his bed, shall I not therefore now require his blood of your hand and take you away from the earth? Right? So when Ruth said, Yahweh going to redeem the living and the dead, here's a story of the dead getting redeemed. This dude was dead, and David is going to kill the dudes that killed him. Now think about all these folks out here that's killing folks. Because like we said, it's only two paths. You got the path that leads to life. You got the path that leads to destruction. Think about all these people out here lying, telling them we're going to be raping people in the kingdom, and that the Bible is a lie, and all these things that goes against the word. And there are people out here believing them, right? Yahweh is going to require that at their hand. He's going to require that, and he's going to take these folks out of the earth. They're not going to be able to see the things that we see, the ones that stand with him, the ones who are redeemed him. They're not going to be able to behold the wonders of this world. They're not going to understand all the secret things that the Most High has, that he will reveal to us in his coming and in his time, because they're not going to be with us, right? And all those folks who are sure enough deceived, they'll have a chance, you know. At the end time, we always talk about how it's going to be folks there who, the scenario was always this. What if somebody didn't hear the word of the Most High and they die and, you know, but they never got a chance to hear the word of the Most High? So I honestly believe that he'll give them a chance. He'll give them a chance to do his way. Because, you know, think about the millennium and how we're going to be teaching. And all these folks then resurrected, you know, I mean, not resurrected, it's going to be living people there. Let's say those folks who didn't get a chance to hear the Most High, let's say they get that chance in the millennium. Because how fair would it be if these folks were cut off from that and they just died and never got that chance? That wouldn't be right for the Most High to do that, because they never had a choice. You know, us being presented this thing and choosing what we choose, that's a great thing, number one. But he's giving us a choice. If you reject it, that's fine by him too. He don't like it, but that's your choice. If you never heard it, if you never heard this gospel, if you never heard this thing, then how can you choose? You know? So that's just my belief, that maybe in his mercy, because he is merciful and he wants everybody to have a choice, the dead will be avenged. You know, somebody who doesn't get a chance to hear this thing, you'll be given a chance. And could be wrong, but, you know, Abba is Abba. Yes, sir.
Well, it's not wrong. Several occasions, Revelation chapter 14, I saw another messenger flying in the midst of heaven, on everlasting goodness, and now to those dwelling on earth, even to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. So, be it Yahweh, to the kingdom, judgment coming, so everybody will get, every person will get a chance, because he can't say it, Philippians, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. So no one will be left. That's why it's not over yet. They think it's over. Everyone hasn't heard the true gospel. They heard a gospel. They haven't heard the true living gospel, the gospel that gives you eternal life.
Right.
The gospel's out there. Like Yahshua said, there are many gods and lords in your mind, but there's only one true God, Yahweh, and only one true Lord, Yahushua, HaMashiach. Yeah, everybody's going to get a chance. You wouldn't be a just bad God.
Right.
His word asks for itself. All through the word. Everyone going to hear it because everyone heard it. That we're at the mountain. At Mount Sinai. But it said Hebrews tells us we were in the Lord of those who stood at that mountain. Well, everyone's going to get, every generation going to get an opportunity to hear the true gospel.
Okay.
Whether they receive it or take it,
right?
You got the illustration of the thief on the cross. So that's one example in a way, like, you know, but kind of vague, but still, everyone's going to hear. Something made him make a decision right there at that cross.
Right.
Excuse me, at that tree, that state. Someone on your course of life, you heard it. You heard the Holy Spirit working on you before you said it. may not be my day today, but today may be my day, so I have to get it right before I close my eyes today because
right.
I may not get another opportunity.
Anybody else? So everybody will get a chance to hear. That's called redemption. So he says, how much more, when a wicked man hath slain a righteous person in his own house upon his bed, shall I not therefore require his blood of your hand and take you away from this earth? And David commanded his young men, and they slew them and cut off their hands and their feet and hanged them up over the pool in Hebron. But they took the head of Ishbosheth and buried it in the sepulchre of Abner in Hebron. So they got dealt with, you know, because you can't do things to kill folks and expect it not to come back on you. Abba is going to avenge the fallen. And he called him righteous. He's going to avenge the righteous ones, the people who are in good standing with him, right? So again, let's just keep on walking and stay in the right standings of the Most High, right? Psalms chapter 49. Starting at verse 1. Excuse me. Psalms chapter 49, starting at verse 1. He says, to the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah. Hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world. Both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak of the wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline my ear to a parable. I will open my dark saying upon the harp. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about? They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to Elohim a ransom for him. So, you got all these folks out here with all this money, and it's doing them no good. You can't redeem your brother because you're putting all your trust in your wealth, right? This is what he says. He says, verse 8, for the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceases forever. Yahweh wants to redeem our souls. It's just like what David said. Yahweh redeemed my soul in all my adversities. So whatever it is we was going through that made our heart drop, that made our, as he told Cain, Cain, why did your countenance fall? And you think about it, starting from Adam, it was a point where Abba just said, Abba talked to these men and told them, Adam, where are you? Then it got to the point with Cain, why did your countenance fall? Then it got to Enoch walked with the Most High. He was communicating and making sure that these men were staying right, you know. Adam had a chance to do right, even though it was his will for him to know good and evil. He could have picked just all that, but like we said, it was Abba's will. Cain did not have to go about the things the way Cain went about it. He didn't have to slay Abel. He knew to do right because he said the offering wasn't right. Why is your offering, if you would do right, wouldn't your offering be accepted? So Cain knew what the offering was. Just like Abel knew what the offering was. Adam didn't not shun Cain and told Abel this great secret. Didn't happen. So we have opportunities to get right, you know, but a lot of times we don't. Specifically, people with a lot of money, they don't want to get right. They good right where they are. He said, because they trust in their wealth. And now listen to this. He says, For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceases forever. Verse 9, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool, and the brutish person perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thoughts is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. America is named after a dude. Africa, named after a dude. You know, all these places named after men. He said, their inward parts, that the houses shall continue forever. It was a documentary that we watched a while ago called Born Rich. And one of the people was Johnson & Johnson's son. But the one that really stood out to me was the guy whose family, I don't remember their name, they own Grand Central Station. And he talked about how back in the day, if you wasn't doing something corrupt, you were broke, right? So these people own Grand Central Station, and they'll never go broke. Johnson & Johnson, he'll never go broke, you know? They're like these juggernauts as far as money goes. But they got that money, a lot of them did, off of doing corrupt things, like the Trumps. They owned, what was they into, prostitution or something like that? And that's how they started their empires. And they trust in this. Little Trump, the little baby Trumps, ain't got a financial worry or anything like that. Because the Trump name keeps on going on. Their house keeps on going on. You know, this young boy, the whole point of the documentary, when he turned 18, he inherited $60 million or something like that just by turning 18, 21, however old he was, you know. So you get to a certain point in your life and you're instantly a millionaire. All of a sudden, you're worth a whole lot. And they're not worrying about their names fading or anything like that. Their house is going to continue. But what about your soul? Yahweh is asking. Because you're putting all your trust in this money. What about your soul? Is it corrupt? Because that's what you should want to keep on going on. That's what you want to live forever. Right? He says, the inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man, being in honor, abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. For their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve of their saying. So, little Trump, what's the daughter name? Ivanka or something like that. She ain't going up against Daddy Trump. She approves all the stuff Daddy Trump says, no matter how dumb it sounds. Because she's a Trump. No matter what foolishness comes out of the mouth, she's going to keep on going with Daddy Trump. He says, verse 14, like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwellings. But Elohim will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me, Shelah. That's what he's redeeming, our souls from the power of the grave, from death itself. That's what he wants, you know, and that's our choice. That's his whole mission, to save us from death, because at one point, everybody was on that road to destruction. You know, but he gives us that alternate route, the way to get off of it. So, any questions or comments about anything? You know, we can't put our trust in this world system. I think we all know that. You know, don't trust in your riches. Trust in the Most High, because all that stuff won't go away. All of it is. You know, what's more precious to you? Is your soul more precious than your Benz or whatever? You know, if you have a Benz, most of us in here don't have Benzes. Any questions or comments about anything? All right. Well, that ends today's lesson, and one more week. Next week, we're going to talk about fear. You know, because that's another thing that Abba showed me that he's redeemed us from, fear. We don't have to be afraid. So, Zakan, would you mind leading us out, closing us out?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We ask your blessing be upon those that are not yet faithful. Those that throughout their new father, blessing, they might come here as please bless their father. Those knowledge upon teachers, Heavenly Father, that you have given us. Yahweh, continue to have us be obedient word and written your books. Father, this is all pray.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Because you have rejected his instructions.